The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Life is like a hurricane. Life is like a hurricane. They're back, folks. Welcome back to Duckburg. We are here to commemorate a huge event over the weekend. DuckTales are back in a huge way, and DuckTales
am here.
Yeah, we are today. Today, look around you. Today, we are all DuckTales.
Welcome to My Brother and Me, a sort of DuckTales.
I'm going to rename it, Justin.
Okay.
My Huey, my Dewey, and my Louie.
Yeah.
Can I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Quacking up with the McElroy brothers.
Oh, that's colon, pretty good.
Stop. Quacking up with the McElroy brothers, DuckTales fanzine.
This is our DuckTales fanzine. My name is Justin Huey McElroy.
I'm Travis Webigail McElroy.
I'm Griffin Gooey. It's a night. This is a night record. We should mention. We don't typically do these, but if it feels like the atmosphere is a little bit more loosey goosey, then that's why. Although that doesn't make sense because I just ate a bunch of cheese pizza and like a half a pint of ice cream, and so we have about T minus 60 minutes before I experience complete butt death. So,
on DuckTales, are there any geese?
Because
There's like ducks, right? And then there's beagles.
Yeah. And robots. No, that'd be fucked up, wouldn't it? That would be like a human show with a bunch of humans, and then one human would walk in with a long, long, beautiful, sexy neck into the scene, and that would be kind of like if you're watching Law & Order SVU, and then in walks, a celebrity.
Yeah.
Who's a celebrity now?
Couldn't summon up any names of celebrities?
Let me try.
Yeah.
Chris O'Donnell walks in, but he's got a long, 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 long neck.
It'd be kind of like the one episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which is a half hour of Goofy staring at Pluto and just being like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
We can all agree this is fucked up, right? Yuck.
He'll just stare at silence for like 3 minutes sometimes, and then he'll just be like,
no, but seriously, what the fuck?
Yeah, it would be like an episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse if there was a new character introduced who was just a fucking filthy rat that would just shit, couldn't speak in the fun way that the other me speak, but just like shits right on the floor and eats like a dirty sock, and he's just like, because he's a rat and not a mouse. It's fucked up if you think about it.
There is a Mortimer Mouse on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse that is just evil as fuck, and he looks like a dirty rat, and everybody
nice.
Eats his fucking guts.
So DuckTales is back.
Has anyone ever entertained the idea that the reason Goofy wears clothes and talks and the reason Pluto doesn't is because they're just different species of dog?
Like, oh, you're saying...
It's not like some weird fucked up thing. I mean, just some dogs are smarter than other dogs.
No, that all clocks true. So DuckTales is back. Here...
The series premiere is yesterday. The second episode comes out September 23rd.
Hey, give me some time to stew.
Give me some time to fucking peek and back off. 6 weeks. Okay. That's fine. If you don't want to bring me to DuckTales Climax right away, that's fine. Just drop one episode on me for me to like just like vision board out and like print out JPEGs from the episodes. Like, where's the merch? Where's something? Like, you can't give me one episode of DuckTales and be like, it's back. It's really not.
Like, do you think there are people in like, are there people in like message boards and chat rooms like Twin Peaks that are like, what do you think is going to happen with the rest of the season? In this one scene, Glomgold was wearing red plaid. Do you think that that means that it's like blood and it's going to, and it's all connected because that guy, I think that that's his brother. Also, by the way, twin beaks.
Hey.
Hey, thank you very
nothing.
Much.
It's nothing. Kevin, are we free to talk about the, I'm sorry, insane thing that happened last year that Travis willed into existence, or is that, do you think, forbidden from being spoken about on the podcast?
Because no, that's it's knowledge now.
Okay, it's last year, we were talking about how very good it would be to have our friend DuckTales back in the world, because it's a good show, and the news about DuckTales being rebooted with like a star-studded cast, we're like, fuck yeah, we're here for it. We won't have to change our password that we use when people come, strangers come to pick us up at the playground. That's a bim bam deep cut. And Travis said, let's get Lin-Manuel Miranda up in the mix and let's get him as Gizmo Duck, full, like straight up. Travis did not, Travis was not plugged into the casting process to know that that was the truth. And like a day later, Lin texted us, like, who fucking blabbed? Who's the,
blabbed.
Where's the, we
who
gotta
blabber
identify.
And blatherskites.
It's hysterical, by the way, that Lin thinks we know, I mean, literally anybody else. Like, anybody on earth who could have blabbed other than him, our Hollywood patient zero. Like, the only person that we actually know that could do anything.
And Travis was swept up in a months-long grand jury investigation.
Yep. I tried to explain that I'm just a precog, and I mean, I always have been. I was born a precog, and I've lived a precog life, and I tried to explain that to the judge, and eventually the case was thrown out because I was able to predict the judge's murder and save their life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But if the judge wasn't murdered,
mm-hmm.
then your thing wasn't true. Minority Report 2. It's
that,
bad this
that
time.
Was what happened in the appeal.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hey, Trav.
Yeah?
You got any other calls, shots to call? Maybe, how about the Name of the Wind series coming out?
It's going to be like, real good.
Yeah, who's in it?
Us.
Oh.
But not as who you'd think.
Oh.
All three of us play Elidan, stacked on each other's shoulders in a long
and a big
row.
Trench coat. Yeah, mm-hmm. They haven't done that in a while in a movie or TV show for a while. I think the last time I saw that was Cloud Atlas, and there was Tom Hanks on top of two uncredited actors.
Uncredited Tom Hanks.
He just said, I want to be tall in this one. If I'm going to be in this one, I want to be real, real tall. So he had two uncredited actors carrying his weight.
There's an amazing cast in this new reboot of DuckTales. There's David Tennant, Scrooge McDuck, Danny Pudi is Huey, Ben Schwartz is Dewey, Bobby Moynihan is Louie, Kate McCucci is Webigail. It's amazing. It's a huge cast. Beck Bennett is Launchpad McQuack. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. Star-studded cast. Who's playing Donald Duck? Well, Tony Anselmo. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't know the name Tony Anselmo. Well, you wouldn't, except for this one thing. Tony Anselmo is the reigning Donald Duck.
Yeah.
And that is the one part where they're like, well, no, you gotta go to Tony. Gotta get Tony because Tony has been Donald Duck since 1986. Every time you've heard Donald Duck on the original DuckTales, yeah, that's Tony Anselmo. Like, Tony Anselmo is only Donald Duck. Check his IMDb. It's Buck Wild. Only Donald Duck. And always Donald Duck.
But to be fair,
go to Tony Anselmo.
You can do like a star-studded cast, and like we're gonna take, you know, Huey in a different direction, and we're gonna make Launchpad sound slightly different. But you couldn't have like Donald Duck as played by Michael Fassbender just like walking in and be like, "Hello, nephews, come with me now." Oh, uncle, yes, we must fight Glomgold.
You could have gotten me though.
Oh, what a fuck. I tried almost to watch that Lovecraftian Cthulhu deep tongue. Yeah, no kidding. Thank you to Tony. Thank you to DuckTales. Can we do the show advice?
Yeah. Would love to get Tony on the show, by the way. So, Tony, for listening, get at us. Let's do this. Let's stop dancing around it.
There's probably somebody who listens to our show with like a full-blown conspiracy theory that we must just do all sorts of native advertising on our show. Like, there's no way that they just talk about these things for 12 minutes and no one paid them to.
For 12 minutes.
There's no way. What human being would do a show where they just said shit about DuckTales for 12 minutes without being paid to do it? We would.
We did. Here's our first question. I need your help. For about a year now, once a month, someone in my building leaves a banana peel on or around my doorway. At first, I regarded this with bland bemusement, but then they started deliberately hiding them under my drying umbrella or under the doormat, which is a bit sinister. Today, I was horrified to find one hanging on my door handle. I had to touch their gross banana mess with my real human fingers. Any advice on how to get this to stop, or failing that, advice on how to ferret out the culprit would be appreciated. And that's from Kip.
Is it possible that this is the symbol that lets God's angels of vengeance know to pass over your house, saving you on this?
They're trying to save you, Kip.
Trying to save you on this high holy day. Or maybe it's possible.
Is it possible that in a similar vein, this is some sort of like local secret, like secret society, and they really want you to join and they don't understand? They keep leaving their calling card to let you know that they're calling you up. And yet you keep not showing up to their monthly meetings.
Of the Nanner team. That is their name. It's not very scary.
But they do a lot of good.
They do good. They're very much like Shriners in that way.
So secretive, just like Shriners. What's even going on in those tiny cars?
They run everything, the Nanner team does. And I'm glad we can finally discuss them openly in the podcast.
We'll have to shut the show down after this. I mean, we can't invoke the Nanner team name and then just continue making jokes like silly boys.
Maybe Banana Man lives in your building and he comes so drunk. He's like, I'm going to take a shit right here. And then he does
shit. It's his shit. And he always shits right there on your door.
Hold on. Okay. So you mean Banana Man, the cartoon within Danger Mouse, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
And in your mind, canonically, he shits banana peels?
He doesn't even shit whole bananas. That's what's fucked up to me, is he shits out the used husk of a banana.
Well, I don't want to play this game with you, but he only eats bananas. So what do you want him to shit?
He eats them whole like Griffin?
So please don't invoke that curse back upon my brand. So we got so far a list of be helpful. Let's do a list of suspects. We've got somebody from Nanner team. We've got somebody protecting you from God's angel of righteous vengeance. We do have Banana Man. I'm gonna go ahead and put Donkey Kong on the list. He's cruising by, and he either finishes his snack because he's a very deliberate young ape. And he finishes his banana snack on his way to his apartment. Do you even know your fucking neighbors? Do you even know that you live next door to fucking Donkey Kong? Okay, whatever. And he just always finishes the banana there, and that's where he drops it. Alternatively, there's a Mario Kart race that goes on by. And so they just toss it there, trying to trip up Toad or Yoshi or whoever.
Griffin, if you lived in the same apartment building as Donkey Kong, you would know, because every time you tried to walk up the stairs, you'd have to jump over those barrels.
That is a good point. Video game. Justin, you have a video game joke?
I don't, actually. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, wow. Huh.
Yeah.
So Donkey Kong is definitely on the list. It could just be a mean child. There's a lot of those.
A mean, but here's the thing, Griffin, a mean but deliberate child. Like, I would understand if the banana peel just showed up, like, on your doormat. But under your doormat, like, this might be someone in the building who now thinks it's a funny inside joke they have with you, except they forgot to let you inside.
Kip, I have a question. Have you ever seen Memento?
It's a great movie.
It's good. It's really good.
So I watched Children of Men yesterday. That's another good movie. Travis, have you seen a good movie lately?
Let's see. What have I watched?
I'm saying Kip's eating the bananas.
I liked Moon. Moon is underappreciated.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm saying Kip's eating the bananas is what I'm saying.
And forgets about it.
Kip is eating the banana, and it's not like, okay, this is going to sound wild until I put it to you like this. Tell me the exact moment that you last ate a banana.
Me?
Exactly. Thank you. I'm asking both of you. Tell me the exact last moment that you ate a banana.
On purpose, I mean, or accidentally?
Both.
It was that fateful viral video.
Okay, well, Griffin had a viral hit the last time he ate a banana, so he probably didn't
count. I have lots of evidence.
I will admit, since having a baby, I mindlessly eat bananas sometimes because, like, we'll give her half a banana, and while I just stand there and stare at her, mush it into her face like a monster, I will realize I'm eating the other half almost, like, simpatico, like I can't help it. Like, we must both destroy bananas in this moment.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying, Kip. You need to take a long look in that deep, dark, truthful mirror and say, hey, did I eat the banana? Am I doing this to myself? Is this a Kip joint that I
created for myself? Am I the nanner monster?
Am I the nanner monster? It's possible.
Am I the founder of Nanner Team? Get a fucking Nest Cam or something and get to the bottom of this, because I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Thank you, Kip. How about a Yahoo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I got some fucking wild ones, y'all. I'm going to read this one. I don't know if it'll be a good conversation point, but I was so intrigued by it. It was sent in by Chris Haug. Thank you, Chris. It's Yahoo Answers user Mike Will. And this is a Yahoo Answers Now, so time is of the essence. Mike Will asks, in Singles and Dating, how I got the blank ATM card that changed my life. There's not a question mark on this. I guess they're a little bit more loosey-goosey with punctuation in Yahoo Answers Now. It's a period at the end of this one. And if you're waiting for more, you're going to be disappointed because there isn't any more. This seems like maybe a prompt for a short story in a creative writing class. But how I got the blank ATM card that changed my life?
I think I would posit that what this headline is trying to make us think is like an ATM card that is like somehow fully loaded but without any restrictions. But in fact, wouldn't a blank ATM card just be...
It wouldn't work.
Yeah, it would just be a rectangle of plastic, right?
You'd get on Amazon and you'd say, like, I'm going to buy myself a nice foot bath. And then they say, what's the... Mike, Will, whichever... I need the information on the card, please, to complete the transaction. It's me, Jeff Bezos. I think I'm the Amazon guy. And you can't provide the information because it doesn't exist as a blank ATM card.
Mm-hmm.
It did change his life, though.
That would be a fucking power move, though. If you walked into a store and they're like, that'll be $56.30, and you just handed them a rectangle of blank plastic and just like stared at them as they tried to like insert it into the chip machine or swipe it, and you just kept it, and they're like, it's not working. Just like nod at them, like never address anything until they're like, just leave. Please just take your stuff and get out. And then
who's that? It's your husband. That's how I met my husband. My blank ATM card changed my fucking life.
Changed everything.
Let's do a different one because this is dumb.
All right.
This one was sent in by six different people, but Madeline Diaz was the first one to send it in. Thank you, Madeline. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user, so it's also Mike Will. It says, my cat saw me throw away a mouse. My cat brought me a mouse, and it saw me pick it up and throw it outside. Will my cat know that I trashed it?
Okay, wait. Is the concern of this question, like, my cat knows that there's a mouse in the garbage, or... is the concern of this question, my cat gave it to me and like as a present and saw me throw it away. This cat
That's
is
what
not
I think
going to
that,
be
and
offended.
The cat was hurt.
Kitties are so funny because they're always bringing you little gifts and you never really want the gifts. I just love these little guys.
Cats are like the extended family that found out like you were into something because they saw you have it like once, and then like you're always getting Minions toys.
your cat saw you eat one mouse and right? was like, oh, I got you. Me too.
Oh, man. I had a mouse, then he took the mouse away from me. He must want mice.
He must love them. Yeah. The question asker says they threw it in the trash, and then later in the question that say they threw it outside. I do not know the cat on earth that if you were like, anyways, I'm just going to chuck this mouse outside, that cat would not be like, all dunk, free mouse. Like, there's no way that cat's not going to make a run for it.
User J-O-E says, oh, Joe. Oops. says,
He's been inside too long. Pull him out.
Says Kitty says, I will never understand humans. They throw out good food. Such a waste. I don't think Kitty, I love these little guys, like I said. They're always up to fun and games that, like, I don't really understand, but I don't think they necessarily understand value or, like, would make any sort of evaluations of my human, like, motivations.
If your cat thought it was weird when you threw the mouse in the trash, how would your cat react if you just methodically started skinning the mouse and then rubbing it in butter and garlic, and then sautéing the mouse,
yes,
and then sitting down and getting your deboning knife and deboning the mouse, and then sitting down and just enjoying the mouse. Would that be more strange for your cat to process? It seems like that would be also very troubling for the cat.
I always find it funny when people talk about, like, oh, it must be so weird. Like, my cat watches me clean its litter box. Like, what does it think I do? Your cat doesn't care. Your cat doesn't think about you in that way. Your cat doesn't give two shit. And this isn't a cat versus dog thing, because my dog also doesn't think about the things I do 3 seconds after I'm done doing
them.
Love
these pets. Is it? Can we stop the podcast for like a minute so I can go find my kitty and give him a big kiss on his head?
But do you guys remember when I had the lizards?
You had lizards?
You don't remember that brief period where I had the aquarium up in my attic room with the two like red lizards in there? You don't remember
I don't remember you had lizards.
Somebody gave me a box with some lizards in them when I was in elementary school and middle school. I didn't have them very long. I wasn't very responsible. They were already pretty old when they were given to me, folks. Don't worry at home. But I remember thinking, this may be the best trade-off of pet to owner interaction level of, like, even better than fish, the low level I must commit to enjoy these lizards being in this glass box.
I gotta know more about this person that gave you a box and said, here's two very old lizards. Will you help them die, Travis? Will you help these old lizards find their way to Jesus?
I wish I could remember more salient details about this lizard exchange, but honest to God, the only thing I can remember is coming home one day from like some kind of practice and mom and dad being like, hey, sorry, your lizards are dead. And I walked into my room where they were in the aquarium and I poked them and they started running around. And I looked at mom and dad and they were like, I swear they were dead like 10 minutes ago.
Welcome to, thank you for calling Travis McElroy's Lizard Hospice. We do have where we try to provide the most calming sort of spiritual experience for your lizards to feel free to let go. That's the main thing we try to achieve here.
If you guys are going to have a bird pet.
Yeah.
What kind of bird pet would you have? Big bird, little bird? Which way would you go?
Justin says no way.
No way. Birds fuck me up, man.
Not even like a hawk, Justin? Maybe a falcon?
Birds and the mice of the sky. No way on earth would I ever have
that's
a bird pet.
Beautiful.
What if it? Okay. What if it got out and I had to move? Because no way. No way. Am I
yeah.
Oh, so you no mean way. Got out within your home?
Got out in the house and it'd be like, "Hi, Century 21. It happened again."
Is this Jake with State Farm? I need to move. I know State Farm doesn't sell houses, but I didn't know who else to call. I'm so scared.
Hi, is this J-A-K-E with State Farm? Oh, wait, sorry, it's Jake. Is this Jake with State
Farm? Go eat ass. I would want to do a heavenly dove.
I want a hawk. I've just always pictured myself something of a 15th
that's
century
so much
lord.
Work. I know that's how you envision yourself. I want a beautiful dove, one that's completely quiet all the time, though.
I'd just like to have my own wings. Does that count?
Can I put my wings on my kitty? That's the best of both pets.
Oh, man. If Buttercup could fly, oh, that'd be amazing. If I have
this
flying dog.
Not a good podcast.
It's 9 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday night. What do you want from us? Family Guy's on, and I know I'm missing it.
Jesus. How about the question? That's what I want from
what
you.
What do you guys think, Studi?
Studi Griffin.
What do you guys think Studi Griffiths is doing right now? I bet he's
probably messing with his dog friend, Brigham, and having a good old time.
I bet whatever he's doing, it is not like congruous with what his age would suggest.
Yeah. Love that.
I'm going to read this fucking question if you don't.
I was driving home from work yesterday, and I stopped
late one night with my lap. I did see quite a fright. I don't know the words.
That's it.
I was trying.
Nothing more topical than a Monster Mash reference in
August.
That's
not even the way. That's not even the way the song starts. You just.
I was driving home from work late one night. My boss is a real jerk and kept me late. What a dick.
Anyway, Mash.
I had to quit. I had to quit my job. I hate my job.
If Algorfin needs his two words to start his Yankovic,
two words
up,
and a gerund.
He needs two words and a gerund to start the Yankovic proclamation. I'm not sure that I want to. Okay. I was driving home from work yesterday, and I stopped behind a van at a red light. The van had a rear-facing seat occupied by two teens. We made eye contact. That's your first mistake. I spent the rest of the red light looking at the floor. How should I handle this situation if I get stuck behind them in traffic again? And that's from, oh God, please stop looking at me in Orlando.
Man, holy shit. So, like, we had a station wagon growing up that had rear-facing seats, and there were, you know, a grip of us, and so, like, almost always one of us would be back there having to, you know, have eye contact with people behind us. So, like, first of all, think about the fact that this is the only time this happened to you all night, and to them it was Tuesday. Like, this is their fucking life. And so, like,
when
I cannot imagine
eye contact with M. Bison. It was the worst day of your life.
Like, first of all, how is this fucking allowed? Like, since having a child and having to put, like, a car safety seat in the car, I feel like I'm way more aware of, like, automotive safety standards. How is it cool for folks to just be like, we're going to face the opposite way as everybody in the car? Are we good? I don't think you're good back there a little bit, maybe.
Not just from a safety standard, though, Griffin. It also sends a signal to whoever's in those seats, like, and you're not a part of the rest of the car. Enjoy looking out the back. We'll be up here talking.
It does preclude the need for a baby on board sticker, because it's like, look, they're right
look,
there.
There's babies.
Make whatever driving decisions you want. But you, as you can see, I have my teens in the car. Please try to be responsible.
Drive like your teens are in my car.
I think the best thing you
trying to run me off the road like Liam Neeson.
I think the best thing you could have done is reached down and retrieved your fidget spinner and then spun it up real good for them to show them that, like, you mean them no harm and you're safe and with it.
Roll down some windows and blast LMFAO. Is that still a thing?
Absolutely, it's still a thing, Travis. I'm so glad you've said that.
We knew this was going to happen, but we made an episode of our TV show, our short-lived television program, which has a new home, by the way, vrv.co/mbmbam. Go watch the whole thing for free. We'll talk more about it at the end. But we made an episode about it, and we knew this would happen, but it's about teens and connecting with teens, and we focused heavily on dabbing and fidgets and water bottle flips.
We missed fidget spinners by, like, a day.
Yeah, and the absence of fidget spinners from that episode has just it insta-dated it. It, like, is already hopelessly out of date. Because fidget spinners were not present in the episode. It's like, by the time it came to air, it was already hopelessly free of fidget spinners.
I wish there was a thing you could do in the car that didn't involve paying attention to anything outside of the car that was, like, even remotely safe or acceptable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if there was, like, a little...
Like a partition.
Right, but at the front.
Yes.
Like, a partition that popped up on the hood that prevented, like, you know what I mean? But then it's unsafe, and you can't see when the light changes.
Anytime I am stopped at a stoplight next to somebody else, especially if they have, like, a flashy car or, like, a loud car or they look young, I'm always really afraid of sending any signals to them. This is true, and it's going to sound like a joke, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I'm always afraid of sending any signals to them that I want to race them. I'm worried. I'm always worried. I'm always worried that I want to do the wrong thing, and they're going to think that I'm trying to race them. Or I'm saying that my Honda Pilot is faster than their car in any way. And I'm just always really paranoid about making it clear that I don't want to race them.
I feel like
has your foot ever slipped and you've accidentally, like, tapped the accelerator while you're
holding
the brake, and you're like, oh God.
No. And I have to take my hands off the wheel and be like, no racing. No racing, please.
I feel like I used to get that in Huntington when, like, you know, fucking high school, especially driving home from high school, the high school that Travis and I and Justin for, I guess, 3 of the years attended was like up on this big hill, and you had to like get out on the highway and drive up to it. And so like everybody just fucking drove. And I feel like driving home from that, especially like every other day, some motherfucker in like a big Ford truck would like try to race us. And I didn't know how to tell them like, no, I don't, but then they still race you. And I even though I didn't want to participate, I still take the psychic damage from knowing I lost. It's a lose-lose situation.
Do you ever, when you're driving, like just designate in your mind, especially when you're on a long car trip, like that car and I are somehow cosmically connected now? Where, ooh, like, you just see, like, another, like, you and red car are just, like, kind of maintaining the same speed and going the same direction for 100 miles.
On a road trip, like, you and, you know, some, you know, beetle just, like, keep passing each other for, like, 8 hours. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, nice. And then you stop at a Denny's, and then you leave the Denny's, and, like, an hour later you see him again. It's like, oh, you stopped too. Yes!
I saw nice. Today, when I was driving back from Huntington, two motorcyclers? Cyclerinos, and they were
two gearheads,
and they were on bikes like one car ahead of me, and like together for easily 25 miles. And then suddenly at an intersection, one of them turned and the other one kept going for a long time. And
they
I was incapable of accepting that they had not been together that whole time, like that they were just two independent gearheads that are just like, let's ride together for a while. And like, I was truly blown away and touched by that moment of like, I don't know you and you don't know me, but we're gearheads for life now. Let's go.
I can't wait till self-driving cars like fix all this, because I will not have to even look up from my Mad Magazine that I'm just sitting in the cockpit of my fucking GoPod that Elon just made for me. It's a custom Elon original GoPod. And just like, you're in your GoPod facing backwards like an asshole, you know, fidget spinning two or three spinners at the same time, like showing off that. And I'm just like, nice try. And meanwhile, I'm trying to solve all the puzzles and
mm-hmm. all the Mad Magazine puzzles.
All the jokes in the Mad Magazine.
Trying to fold thing. That back page.
Do the fold one. Yeah.
Love that. All right. We've lost the plot. Let's go to the Money Zone.
This week, I want to tell you about an old friend. Oh, hey, old friend. Come on in. Sit on down. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while since we talked, old friend. What's that? You brought snacks? Your nature box? Well, that was a weird intro to this ad. But Nature Box is sponsoring us this week. They have over 100 snacks, and they taste good and are actually better for you. All snacks are made for
everybody. When if you listen back to that part, if you're re-listening, when you get to that section, I want you to imagine Travis like hanging by a noose, and Griffin and me just staring up at him like, "Nope, let him dangle. We are absolutely not going to jump into this weird intro trap that he has laid for himself. Absolutely not."
I'm not worried. I'm like fucking Lupin. I'm gonna get out of whatever trap you lay for me. I'm a bit of a joke wizard like that. No bad joke can hold me. All snacks are made from high quality, simple ingredients, which means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel good about what you're eating. I love a nice salty snack. Love the Asiago cheese crisps. I like the like sesame sticks, that kind of thing. I'm way deep into that. But they also have like,
I like a Big Island pineapple. It's just a big pineapple ring that's all dried out, and I can look through it and pretend that it's like a little portal to another world.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you like?
The chewing gum that they have. Have you guys tried that yet?
Is that real?
No, but I was trying to get it going. If they wanted to have some Nature Box chewing gum, I bet it would be great, and it would have lots of real fruit flavor, and I would love that sort of natural approach.
Yeah, I love their hypothetical gum, too. That's my favorite.
Trav, what is your other stuff they don't have but that they would crush?
I really like their Nature Box donuts that are just filled with vegetables, but it doesn't taste like it.
I got my home insurance through Nature Box, and whoa, there's no artificial sweeteners in there. But then my kitchen exploded, and they got me. Mm-hmm. They didn't give me money. They just sent me a bunch of snacks. And I was like, Nature Box, this is actually bad insurance. I need a new home, Nature Box. This would all happen in the hypothetical world.
And right now you'll say,
this is the world
more.
That I see. This is the world I see when I peer through my pineapple rings.
NatureBox is offering my brother and me fans 3 free snacks and the first month of your membership free with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/mybrother. That's naturebox.com/mybrother for 3 free snacks with your first order. naturebox.com/mybrother.
Come chow down on these delicious preservative-free Stargates.
Everybody, step back. I'm about to talk about MeUndies. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable? The balance is hard to find. In fact, it's razor thin. It's shaped like a MeUndies logo because they're the only underwear that are both. August is National Underwear Month, and to celebrate, MeUndies is making it easier than ever to try the world's most comfortable underwear by giving you a risk-free guarantee. All National Underwear Month long, which is the only thing we're allowed to call it now. No more August. August is dead. If you don't love your MeUndies, they're free. MeUndies are made from Lensing Micromodal, a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric that's proven to be 3 times softer than cotton. Listen, there's other stuff we could talk about with MeUndies, but just please just try them and tell me that you don't think that it is life-changing comfort and pleasure there, down there, because you will not regret it. You're not going to need to, I don't care about this guarantee they have. It's a lie. You know why? Because you're never going to do that in a million years. They're
it's
fantastic.
It's
going to
feel so good. Now get those lounge pants. Those lounge pants are dope as fuck.
Get 20% off your first pair, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/mybrother. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother. Go. Get yourself some good underwear.
That promo goes till August 31st, or National Underwear Month, the 31st. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother. Hey, I want to tell you about Drunks and Dragons. It's a podcast on iTunes. It's you can go to Geekly, Geekly, Inc.com to find out more about this podcast. It's an actual play 5th edition D&D campaign that is filled with unlikely but lovable heroes. With an expansive back catalog, Drunks and Dragons follows a group of friends as they try to save the world without destroying it in the process. Even though there's a large backlog, you can jump in anytime, and we even have an abridged version to help listeners get caught up quick. Adventure Zone, the first campaign, is ending this week. You're looking for something else? Another vine to swing to that has all that 5th edition actual play content that you crave? It's all at geeklyinc.com for the Drunks and Dragons podcast.
I got a message for Nick, and it's from Aaron, and it says, "Hey, buddy." I don't know why
hey,
I made
buddy.
That sound so sardonic. I'm sorry.
What's up, you piece of shit?
Hey, Dookie Lord. Thanks for being the best paleontologist, dungeon master, and boyfriend ever. The brothers and I say, great job, Nick. Keep up the good work, CRJ. Oh, so just a nice Carly Rae Jepsen nod in there to
That's
let Carly
good.
Know that she's doing a good job.
I like
love that.
Yeah, I would like it. Actually, I would prefer it if all our messages from now on would be like, hey, Susan, congratulations on graduating. You're the best friend that I could ever ask for. I'll never forget that day we spent in the big hot air balloon ride. And Carly, the album is great. Can't wait for the new one to drop. Cuts the Feeling is fucking jam of the summer, and we're all so grateful for it. And if it is a taste of things to come in your next LP, I couldn't be more excited. Please keep following this exciting direction for music that is completely redefining the face of pop. And also, whoever you were at the beginning, again, congratulations on graduating. But really, mostly, Carly, thank you for changing me. You are the queen of Jumbotrons.
Hey, Max Fun fans. It's me, Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. I've got a question for you. Will you help us make our shows better? We wanted to find a way to find out what the Max Fun community thinks about our shows. So we started something called the Max Fun Listener Panel. Basically, you subscribe to a podcast feed, and twice a month or so, roughly speaking, we'll send you an episode of a show and instructions on how to fill out a quick survey about what you think about that show. 10 questions, nothing too crazy. You'll be hearing existing shows that we're thinking about making changes to, secret pilots of shows that we're developing that you'll only hear this way, shows we're considering adding to the network, and what you think about them really matters to us. So to join the panel, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/listener panel. That's MaximumFun.org/listener panel. Thanks for helping make Max Fun better.
I have a Yahoo here, and this one is from Seth Carlson. What do you all think about the delivery man?
Ooh,
because he's delivering.
I like that because then, like, one in every 1,000 times he does deliver it to the wrong address, which I think is still a pretty good hit rate, all things considered.
Sure, for sure.
Hey, everybody, this is Radiolab. We got a Yahoo? I don't get it. Anyway,
I legally have to read it.
Thank you, Seth. It's Yahoo Answers user Eat Baby Seals. Damn it. It says, What's your trademark?
What's your trademark?
No.
What's your trademark?
I thought about this, and it was like, in high school, there's a kid who did tricks. He did magic tricks at the table during lunch. He would always come around, and he would do magic tricks. And he was also, he was very wealthy also. And so he had a couple trademarks. I thought it might be fun to just like, oh, that's Griffin. He's always got a mint. He's always got a mint, and he's handing them out if you need them. One time at church camp, different year than the Andy Mack year, I always had sunglasses on.
Oh,
That could have been like my thing. I this is going to sound like I'm making this up after talking about Andy Mack, but I wanted people to call me Shades, but I had a youth pastor. He was like, you can't. That'll just happen if it happens. Andy Mack, I could sneak in
Jim Moosey?
No, it's a different. Okay. It was out of state. What's your trademark?
His youth pastor in Canada. You wouldn't know him.
That's Griffin. He's always got sunglasses on. He always has a mint. And so if you're at a party and you have the hot breath, just look for the guy with sunglasses because that's his trademark and ask him for a mint because that's his second trademark. I love that.
I'd like to be Travis, the guy who always knows where the food trucks have stopped. I don't know how often that would come up, but
it's going to be too difficult. It's going to be tough for you to track that. It's an unrealistic trademark. Mm-hmm. I can always have mints. I can make sure I've always got mints. I eat a lot of Tic Tacs in my car, but they're not the mint flavor. I almost always have like either orange or the assorted fruit flavored Tic Tacs, and I always have them in one of my cup holders so I can have myself a little snack when I have to go and run a chore. That's kind of a trademark, but then nobody gets to experience those with me because nobody ever gets in my car except for a baby, and he can't have Tic Tacs. He just swallow them. What's your trademark, Justin and Travis?
I had wanted for a long time for it to be Yo-Yo. I wanted to be sort of Yo-Yo J, the guy who was so good at yo-yo tricks. And it just, here's the thing about a worthwhile trademark, like a worthwhile trademark is it really does take, you got to put the work in. You have to put the effort into getting, because another trademark you could have is Justin McElroy, the guy that always publicly fucks up yo-yo tricks. And that would be a less desirable trademark, but it would be an effective and I would say pervasive one that would be pretty, pretty pernicious. It would be tough to shake that one.
My personal trademark, and I've only just begun implementing this, is Travis McElroy, the guy who's a time traveler from the future stuck in the past trying to get home.
Yeah.
Because what's great about it is, unlike Justin's yo-yo fantasies, it actually takes very little work. Because I can say anything about the future with very little research, and no one's going to be like, that's not what it's like in the future. And it also makes me interesting, because people really want to know about the future. And here's the other thing, and I know what you're thinking, but Travis, people already know you. Yes, of course. That's why my mythos is my consciousness traveled back from the future and inhabited my current present day body, and I can't figure out how to get my Travis McElroy consciousness back to the year 2087, the day I was dying.
Sounds like a lot of work, that trademark. I could just have a couple of tins of Altoids on me at all time, and that's a trademark. But yours requires you to pretend to know things from 2087.
But Griffin, how far are your Altoids going to take you? It's like, oh, can I have an Altoid? You can. End of interesting exchange. But if I talk about like,
well, then I show them my other trademarks. I put on my I don't put on the sunglasses. I've had them on the entire party.
You're starting to sound like a trademark troll, where you just get really broad trademarks.
Oh, let me keep going.
Okay.
I then ask them if they have any weed. That's my other trademark.
The The problem with having a
and then I jump really high. It's another trademark of mine is how high I can jump, and people love it.
One issue with having a, let's say, contextually popular podcast is that a lot, it's so hard to try to establish a trademark for yourself in high school when I was really thinking about trademarks a lot. And now sometimes parts of my life just become trademarks and I don't necessarily need or want or desire. Like you talk about beans and then on Twitter, to everybody on Twitter, you become Bean Boy. And really that's my life I'm living. I'm living the bean life like day to day. And it's not necessarily something that I want to define me sure. as a person. I don't need Justin, an additional trademark on those lines.
Please join me in my banana vor corner. And we can hang out here and have a little party together.
I just didn't mean for that to be my brand, I guess is what.
Well,
I'm
we don't get to
about.
Make this call, my boy. You talk about beans or sexual swallowing or you eat a banana funny once and it goes viral. And then that's who you are to folks. But I've got fucking layers, man. I've always got fucking mints on me. But nobody calls me the mint man. Nobody ever asks me for a mint. They always want to talk to me about bananas or vor.
They edited out the part of the banana video where right after Griffin's like, anybody got a mint? Just kidding. I always have them.
I always have them.
I could be Travis McElroy, the guy who zones out during recording the podcast because he's scrolling through Facebook and gets distracted by pictures of Chris Evans. What do you think?
I am a cashier at a farmer's market in Michigan. We sell a huge variety of stuff, including fresh shrimp. Today, a toddler walked by our shrimp cooler and started.
You have to read it.
That's the problem with reading a few words ahead is that sometimes I can mess myself up while I'm trying to read it good. We sell a huge variety of stuff, including fresh shrimp. Today, a toddler walked by our shrimp cooler and started chanting, "Shrimp, heaven, now!" Emphasis on the now, eventually leading his mother to say, "Please, please, Daniel, we can't keep doing this." What is shrimp heaven? Why does Daniel need it now? What are my responsibilities in this situation, if any? I'm confused and delighted by this slow-canoeing child. But I fear something darker may lay under the surface. That's from Shrimp Jesus will return.
All right. Let's take
heaven now.
Let's all take a minute and collect ourselves and appreciate how good this child is. And how good this situation is. All right.
There's just no reality in which, like, that talk about trademarking. This kid went for a narrow line on it.
Yeah.
But I do celebrate it. That is a great trademark.
Shrimp heaven now.
Okay, I'm back.
I like the idea of, like, he's trying to say, like, let me get all up in shrimp heaven right now.
That's what it's got to be, right? This right, is not yes. a religious child, I have to imagine.
Here's the thing. What I would like to believe is that this kid is just crazy for shrimp. Just loves those prawny bastards.
Wild for this stuff.
So much so that it has led his parents to say things like, "Please, Daniel, we can't keep doing this," because this child's shrimp hunger is driving them out of house and home.
It's an expensive protein. It's a lot of work to prepare one. So
fresh shrimp, not pre-cooked, not boiled shrimp, just fresh shrimp. And it's all Daniel.
And they got those dookie veins in them still, and that takes a while to get those out of
Daniel,
there.
No, Daniel loves it all. They go to remove the mud vein, and Daniel's like,
God doesn't make any mistakes.
That's part of the shrimp, mon frere. Why don't you leave that in there for Daniel? Let Daniel handle that for you.
Shrimp heaven now. Do you think this kid burned down a Red Lobster? Definitely. Definitely. Or did something in a Red Lobster that required it to be burned down?
And now he has to facilitate the shepherding of these shrimp souls to heaven.
That's
to free
possible
himself
too.
From his own burden.
He wants to get the shrimp up to heaven by eating them.
How, if you saw that exchange, how do you not just leave your job? How do you not just stand up, walk out, and follow these people and be like, listen, I have to get to the end of this story. I have to hear the rest of Shrimp Heaven now. What is Daniel doing?
I've made 6 episodes of a television show. Now on VRV.co, go check it out. I've made 6 episodes of a television show, and I don't think I'm like, you know, especially tuned in to what Hollywood wants or needs, but I'm pretty sure I could make a television show about your child, about shrimp, and the name of the show would be called Shrimp Heaven now, and I guess it'd be a shrimp review television. We'll figure that out later. But we
just
got the title. We
get
the
Kristen
heat.
Bell in there, and that plus Shrimp Heaven now equals Emmy success. All the Emmys and some Golden Globes to boot.
We haven't had a My Brother, My Brother and Me t-shirt available on Topotico for quite a while. And I feel like maybe this is the one. I feel like this is a new era for this show. And I feel like a t-shirt that just says Shrimp Heaven now would be extremely, extremely powerful.
Do you
what
remember
do you guys
those?
Think of that?
Do you remember the like Peace, Love, and Crabs t-shirt? I think it was Joe's Crab Shack, right? What if we just had a shirt that was like a shrimp, an angel, and a clock? And
yeah,
it's,
I
like,
mean, the,
everyone knows.
The other way we do it is just the black t-shirt with the white words all on the same like paragraph break. That's, you know, and it's like shrimp and heaven and now. Or we could also do Keep Calm and Shrimp Heaven now. That one's really good also. I think we have a lot of opportunity here for Shrimp Heaven now. And I think we may have found a trademark that I will take from this child. I will.
We're going to have one that say Big Dog Shrimp Heaven now.
That one's good. No fear Shrimp Heaven now.
Hypercolor sort of.
Hypercolor shrimp. Yeah.
Maybe a lizard with sunglasses. An old lizard.
I can't believe how good this is. It's renewing my entire faith in humanity. Shrimp Heaven now, but Shrimp Heaven now by itself is very good. I mean, we can all agree that Shrimp Heaven now is excellent and beautiful. But the fact that we can't keep doing it with Daniel is what really brings it over the limit, because Daniel. Is that because that could have been a one-off? You know, kids say the darndest things is one thing that I have made up, and you know, he could have just spouted whatever came to his head. No, this is a recurring theme for Daniel. Is Shrimp Heaven now?
I think that there's a lesson in that though. I obviously love Shrimp Heaven now. No 3 words have ever been more perfectly suited for each other, but there's a limit. There's a limit to it before it could be exhausted, as is evidenced by the fact that, hey, everybody, Shrimp Heaven now. It's losing something, isn't it? I almost feel like, let's call the episode, I feel like, because we're going to keep saying Shrimp Heaven now, and I don't want to rob it of its power. Let's go 5 or 6 episodes and then really drop a Shrimp Heaven now in, and then it'll be like a fun callback.
To that point, I think we do need to qualify the t-shirt, so in big bold letters, Shrimp Heaven now, and then in a smaller subtitle, We Can't Keep Doing This. That just like acknowledges, like, we know that this is a brief moment in time of viral t-shirt marketing of shrimp heavy
and I was
advertising.
I was thinking it would be the title of this episode, right? Shrimp Heaven now. It's a good episode title. I don't want, please don't tweet at us and each other Shrimp Heaven now. I'm going to do a Twitter search tomorrow for Shrimp Heaven now, and any results I get, I'm going to be very disappointed. We got to protect this. We got to protect
this. Yes. Well, I'm tired of us burning through things so quickly. We have to sort of hoard this resource of Shrimp Heaven now being funny.
Let's do a slow burn, like I Love Bees kind of slow burn, and like you can tweet Shrimp Heaven when with a question mark for like the next 2 months. Right, you can tweet that whenever you want.
Or here's what I want. I want everybody to just tweet either shrimp or heaven or now. Just one word. But not the whole thing. And then people can put it together.
And you can make it private. Like, if you want to use shrimpheavennow.com to access our podcast,
Jesus
you
Christ,
definitely
Justin.
Can do that. That's an option that's available to you for sure. But, like, you don't need to go running your mouth about it. But that t-shirt, but when that t-shirt does become available and, like, I'm on it. Like, we're doing it. you can get it at that URL. So if you're listening to this in the past or the future, Travis, which is it?
Well, Justin, it's hard for me to say without giving away too much information that could damage the time stream.
Okay, oh, that's a really good trademark, actually. Because there's a fear. There's a fear in it.
I love that. That's going to do it for us, folks, on My Brother, Me. We alluded to this earlier. Well, we didn't allude so much as give you a fucking URL to visit.
We said it 8 times before.
Yeah. Our show got sold by CISO. Rest in peace, CISO. Shutting down this year, according to reports. We don't have any insider information there, but the point is our show can now be found at vrv.co/mbmbam. Now, here's the cool stuff. Now, make sure you don't go to vrv.com. That's not going to get you anything. But vrv.co/mbmbam is going to give you our show for free. There, it's ad-supported, so you can there'll be ads, but you can just watch the show. And not just the show. You can watch all the bonus materials. There's one that's like one of my favorite things that we shot where we're all bugging the mayor about Candle Nights that didn't make it in the show. Shit, that's
good, yeah.
But it's really, I love that.
I want to point out it's just in America right now. The places where it was available on iTunes, it's still there, but it's not on Verve anywhere else. And I hope that changes. But as we've said so many times before, that is not a decision that we make at all.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
but
I also want to say this upcoming Joko cruise, my wife and I will be there. Right. We'll be doing some Schmanner stuff and probably, classes and appearing on other people's things. And there's still a few cabins available. So if you'd like to join us, you can go to jococruise.com and check that out. And I also do want to say, as Griffin mentioned, we will be putting out the final episode of the Adventure Zone Balance arc. Adventure Zone will be continuing. Don't get it twisted. This is just the ending of this storyline. If you have never listened before, it's maybe like one of the top 5 things I'm most proud of in my entire life, especially, I would say, due in large part to the work that Griffin does. He's an amazing DM and writer. And so if you've never checked it out, you have 4 days that you could just like...
Please don't just listen to the finale. You'll not enjoy it, I don't think, at all.
But start at the beginning, listen straight through, and it'll be there even if you're not ready by Thursday. But
that's how podcasts work, Travis. Yeah, now I'm informing you how on-demand content functions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a really, really, really good album, as are all the Long Winters albums. You should go listen to all of them.
And speaking of going and listening to things, go listen to all the other amazing shows on MaximumFun.org. There's a ton on there that fit a bunch of different genres and styles and tastes and interests. You're going to find something you like, but probably a bunch of stuff you like. So go check it out, MaximumFun.org.
Here's a final. It's sent in by the delivery man, Seth Carlson. Thank you. It's Yahoo Answers user Matt asks, and I'm going to read the whole thing because the additional details are fucking great. Will there be a Zootopia 2? In the first film, they only had mammals, not birds, reptiles, or bugs. Not even tapirs. I love tapirs and would love to see one or two in a sequel. I admire the tapirs in the Ice Age films.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, "What do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man."
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, "Us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons and Dragons."
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McElroys. We host the Adventure Zones, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.